Well, as Bob says, I've been working with Mixes. I used to talk to my students. When I talk to my students, whatever I've done, I've been doing it longer than they've been alive, okay? Because they're like 18 or 19 years old. So I've been doing this a very long time. And working with the council has been great to work with a lot of producers to see what's going on in the industry and then trying to help them figure out what we might be able to do to adjust some things for to make it easier or more profitable for them to do that while keeping their quality where it needs to be. So one of the things that we've been working on recently has been blending mulches. Now, for most of you, how many of you are blending soils? Raise your hand. Blending soils, okay. All right. How many of you blend mulches? Raise your hand, okay. All right. Blending mulches is a relatively new thing. It's similar but different than mixing soils. Because we actually didn't, although you might have been using different materials in your mulches, and you might have been blending some things, we haven't actually had a category or a type of material that was actually blended before until about 2004. We're working on certification of things. We had cypress. We found that people were putting added materials in there, and there was a different price point, and so it was a blended mulch product. Okay. What we found is that if it contains the name of something like cedar malt blended blends or cypress blends, whatever you call that, the first part has to be by federal statute 51% of what you put in. That's just the way it is, right? So it has to be more than the other materials. The other thing that has happened though since then is we've been honing our species testing skills because people are beginning to want to put different things together. And we have to be able to, if it's going to be 51%, we've got to have to figure out a way to tell them apart and see how much is in there. So we started doing that with Dr. Regis. They're actually wood anatomists. And these people are actually trained in determining one wood species from another. Now they're mostly furniture guys, you know, whether this dark mahogany was actually, or teak was actually teak, or whether it was just a stained material, okay? There's a lot of that stuff in the furniture business. So we started working with these people, and they pick up a piece, and they put a hand lens to it, they stick it under a microscope, and they can tell what that piece they have in their hand, all right? So we started, we've fixed that up, and then in the last year or so, we've been testing using these things. And what we find is it's supposed to have 50% in it, which is this line right here. And as you can see, these are just samples of the ones that we've got. Right? Some are just fine, thank you very much. Some are right on the line, and then there are a bunch that are missing the boat. Okay? Now, if we look at them in this thing, most of the blends are actually not passing. In this part, about a third of them were about 20 to 40% cypress instead of being 50 or 51. They were 20 to 40, and about a third of them were less than 20. So clearly, we had a little work to do in working with this type of material. So your beloved organization, the Molten Soil Council, began looking at this. We've been talking to these producers, finding out what they're actually trying to do, what they want to do, and then what kind of equipment they have. What we found is that for many mulch producers, they produce mulch, and they don't blend other materials. They don't make soils. They produce mulch, and there's many of them out there. But an actual recipe for a blend is something that's new to them. Relatively new, trying to put this together. So many of the producers, and the other thing is, people that make mulch, many of them have lots of equipment, grinders, screeners, loaders, but not a whole lot of things that actually blend things together. So it was, by default, difficult to use a lot of standard materials or machinery, so we began to look at how they go about doing that. The other thing that was clear is there really is no on-site test for species. In other words, we heard about weights and measures today. You you, I'm sure you all do, have boxes in your plants. Okay? So you can measure what you're putting in a bag. Right? You do these things, and you have a cypress blend or a cedar blend. How do you know how much is in the bag? We know what you put in the bag and what you can measure aren't always the same, right? But there's no test easily to tell how much you put in. So it's almost by the seat of your pants kind of thing as far as working this out and trying to make this happen. But it can be problematic for you. Not just in certification, but you know, you need to be having, if you're going to have a cypress blend or a cedar blend, it has to have the right specs. So we have to have the right percentages just for sake. You can be stopped, you can be closed down. And as Rob was saying, there's new renewed interest in regulatory issues. Regulators are coming out and looking at many of you in different states, seeing where you are, what's going on in your products, and beginning to ask questions about these things. And what tends to happen, if they were to see some of these low percentages, that's a red flag to them. You know, saying, well, they may not be doing this properly. But what it really happens is that we're really afraid of, and we want to make sure that you're not as much subject to that, is this litigious time that we're in, and the people that are looking for ways of putting class action suits together. And a lot of those, some of the ones we've seen lately, have in the last three, 4 years, has been based on quality specs. Yeah. So it just doesn't make sense to have a product that you really don't have control over that you're working with. Right? So talking to the different producers, it looks like there's about three basic ways that most malt producers can blend these materials. One, if you're a soil producer, you might already have a blending process and protocol. So you could be already having an inline mixer like this where you could put materials in different hoppers, it blends it, falls into it, it goes through the system, you bag it up. Okay? Very common in soil mixing facilities. They're pretty accurate, you have to stay on top of them, but they work pretty well, they're pretty quick, but they cost some money. And unfortunately, they're not available in mulch, most mulch facilities. They just don't have them. So that's usually not, although it's an option, it's usually one that is not available right now to many of these people. We saw a surprising number of people blending at the grinder. Most of these mulches come in as logs originally, and then they go through a grinder, either a tub grinder or, in this case, a horizontal grinder, okay? And then they go through. So what people are doing are trying to manage the log numbers together as they blend, as they run it through here, and use this thing to blend it. Okay? So that seems to be very common. People are using this and blending that way. This really becomes quite an issue. We'll just think about it. If they're trying to balance a log mix, they have to put, if they put one log at a time, the things aren't going through at the same proportions. But if they put several, they have to kind of grab them and pick them up, and then they have to put them in. And you can just think about how that becomes problematic in that process. And so in this process here, a lot of times there are different things. The cypress or cedar may be different proportion sizes to what you're blending into it, say pine, for example. So getting the right ratio in these things as you move them through is, it's an art, okay? And doing it when things are moving fast becomes much more difficult. So we've done that with some of these where it was tried to balance this out. And we took samples from what came out the other end, and it ranged anywhere from, it's supposed to be 50-50, right? And it ranged from 20%, say for example of cypress, to 60%, depending on the bag. So the process of moving things through and trying to blend logs and put them together can have issues. Can it be done? Well, it's definitely a possible thing. But the diligence required for that, I think, is an order of magnitude different from where you might be now. Talking with many of you that have been in the business for a long time, it seems like the other avenue is one of the more preferred processes to try to help ensure that you get the proper blend you want, and that's using loader buckets. Okay? Loaders are almost always available at these places, and using the bucket itself as a method of blending is definitely possible. It's a real straightforward thing. Put these pots, these things together, you move them around a bit until they are blended, and then you can put them in the bag. Right? So they're available at these facilities. Then the question is, how do you mix them? How do you know when you got the right amount, and how do you know what's what? So one of the things we were able to do also was to try to blend materials. Now, unfortunately, if that was what we're trying to do, is make a cypress blend, the only way to tell if it's cypress or not is to use a hand lens and get a hold of this and look at each piece. One, two, three. That's Regis. We pay him $100 an hour. Four, five. So that's a little problematic. So what we did instead was we took red mulch and we took black mulch. Same materials. Only difference was color. And we blended them together, and then we could easily see what the blend was. In this case, we didn't do this on a giant scale. We did this on a smaller scale, about 36 cubic feet of each, 18 2-cubic foot bags and a pot. Okay? Equal amounts to start with. Then we used a bucket. In this case, it was on a skid steer. It was about 3/4 of a yard bucket, okay, for blending. And we made either 4 passes or 8 passes. And a pass would be moving this pile onto this pile and then moving it back would be 1 pass. Okay. So you do it once and then you do it again. Okay? So it wasn't just one dump. And then we looked at what the number's going to look like. Well, here's 1 pass. Okay. It's pretty easy to see where you're not quite where you need to be. So that was just after 1. Right? Not 1 bucket, but 1 pass. After 4 passes, we're doing a better job. We're putting them more together. We've got some concentrations. You see, there's some variability. What you want is to have an equal blend, right, of that material. And this was 8 passes. So it becomes a little more homogenous looking, right? Okay. Well, then we took at 4 and at 8, we took samples, and then we actually pulled them apart. Or my minions in my lab, and I still owe them, we did this in the summer, and I still owe them a lot for doing that. They almost quit trying to pull these things apart and doing that. That was easy, and then that started to get to be really tough. Right? So they pulled them apart. Well, and what we found is that if you do 4 turns, we got 54% black and 46% red of the portions we were able to determine what color they were. And at 8 turns, it was about the same, 48-52. Now, we're not saying 4 or 8 are a magic number. We don't know. But we know that we could blend them and get them relatively in proportions. Okay? The issue here also is, are you going to blend everything in a 3/4 a skister bucket, or are you going to use an 8-yard, 10-yard, 12-yard, 14-yard bucket? There will probably be some differences when you use different buckets. And we're not telling you that you need to do this or that, but it seems better if you simply take known quantities and then put them together. Okay, a couple of things. The first thing is, of course, which you all have to do anyway, is calibrate your bucket, right? How much is in a bucket? And is it flat? Is it heaped? Doesn't matter to us, but you need to calibrate your buckets and be able to use that consistent measure when you're doing the blending. Okay? Already introducing a little bit of error, but But you should be able to be consistent, depending on your loader operator, of course, whether you'll be able to do that. But you get a consistent. And the second thing that seems to be better if you're using buckets is don't try to blend them first while they grind. Just grind one set and grind another. Then you can put the mixtures that you want to in the process. Seems to be simple, seems to make sense, but logistically it can be very different from what you're doing now. But this is the other thing to remember. Remember earlier when Bob was saying about the weights and measures, if you take 24 cubic inches of material, put it in a bag, and dump it into a container to measure, you won't get 24 inches. Well, guess what? Got the same thing here. So if you take a, if you do it, you need to be 50%. You take one scoop of one material and one scoop of the other, and even if they're the same, the chances of every bag being 50 or 51%, that ain't happening. It's not going to happen. So what do? You take 55%, you take 60, you do 2-to-1. It's really up to you, and it's up to your system and what's simpler or easier for you to manage. We're not recommending that you use 60%. What we're saying is you have to use more of your stated material than the other, whatever it is you're filling. That makes sense? It's real straightforward, particularly since you can't measure it when you're done. Right. So, what you have to remember is one bucket of one thing and one bucket of another thing doesn't give you 51% of either one in every bag. Sure, you'll have some in one and some in the other. So you'll have to use more in order to make that happen. Now, we are, the council is looking into doing it more on a larger scale. This, we'll repeat this again a little bit later. We were going to do it at the end of the summer, but the weights and measures thing kind of overwhelmed all the things we were doing, so we couldn't get around to it again. But we were going to look at bigger measures because there is not consensus in the industry. Some said, well, the smaller bags, the systems will give you a more consistent blend. And the other guy said, no, no, no. The bigger system will give you more consistent blend. And someone else says, no. Trouble is, I don't think it was ever measured. So we're going to look at it on the larger scale again and then see if we can actually measure these things and to see what seems to work. But what you see in this process is a lot of room for error, which you have in a lot of things. Before, all you had to remember a lot of times for mulch is where's the pile, where are the bags, being a little bit facetious here, and then putting them together in the right measure. Right? Now it's like, where are these things? Let's put them together. Let's make sure we're okay. Let's make sure. And then getting it in. And then how do we know? We wait for the hammer to come down? I don't know about that. So, from my perspective, the fact that you can't measure, I mean, you guys measure pH, measure EC, you measure weights, you measure volumes, you know how to do all those things, okay, for what you do daily, but we don't have a measure for this yet. Okay? Yes, sir?
Has anybody conducted a Tumbler, like a trommel screen type plant?
No.
You guys conducted
well,
a test like that?
We haven't. But that's another way to do it, is to run it through the trommel. But the process of moving it through, you almost have to have equals. The trommel is basically a way to turn it. It's not a way to get proportions in there.
No, I'd say if it's pre-blended with the bucket first, somewhat roughly, rather do 4 passes or 8 passes.
Oh, sure.
Relatively put it together layer upon layer, then put it through the tumbler.
That's a possibility. Provided you can get that, everything on the ground into the trommel at one time. And then turn it on. I had a big suggestion, and that was back here. Let me back up. Oh well, I'm gonna back up. To the grinder, I said, well, what we'll do, so that you can't get the right amounts in there, is we will, first thing we'll do is we'll stop the grinder. Yeah, everyone's laughing. And then we'll load it up just the right amount of everything, and then when you sign off on that, we'll turn it on and it'll blend. And all I said was, I lost everybody when I said, first we'll stop the grinder. Okay. That may not be where you want to do that. But if you're not going to stop it or be proportionally with that stuff, then you need to be grinding one thing. Do you know what it is? And then grind whatever else you want to be the second part. But don't do it. Well, you have to be careful not doing it together. Okay? So, whatever the stated component is, in this case, mostly it's a cypress blend, but if it's a cedar blend or something else, then that needs to be 51%. Okay? It is completely, legally indefensible to put anything else in there. Okay? It's just, there's no way. Regulator is, well, they don't listen to us now, right? They don't listen to you now when you say, well, but they go, sorry. Whatever it is, if you're not packing right, that's it. Same thing here. And to achieve 51%, you got to do more than blend equal parts. Okay. Regardless of the equipment limitation, then sometimes you might have to go 2-to-1, but in some cases, depending on your equipment and how even it is, you might be able to go 55-60%, just something over. But it really depends on the limitations of your equipment. Okay. So, and the other thing is, there really is no on-site test to check. Now, if you do want to check your samples, particularly the cypress, if you're blending cypress and you're trying to figure this out, then it would probably be a good idea to check that. Our guy Regis can do, we can't pay for it, so $100 an hour to get this done, and it usually means about $100 a sample to get it done, all right? But you can contact me, you can send it to me, I'll be happy to just send me a bag or two, whatever you have, and I can get it to him and see if we can make, it takes a little while to get this sometimes. He's retired after 40 years of service in Wisconsin, so he's not always around. But there is a way to test, but there's no way you can do it on site. Okay, questions?
Who else is testing it besides him?
I'm sorry?
Who else has the ability to test it besides him?
I would think any good, reputable wood anatomist might be able to do it, but the problem is not identifying the piece that you have, it's the protocol to determine how many of those pieces are in a bag.
I'm just saying that where's all these states going to send all this information to?
Well, that is, I want to say the plus side, but they don't have a clue. But that's not actually ever stopped them. I don't know, I'm recording this, but I don't know a regulator that's actually been slowed down by that kind of thing. We're talking about regulators, you know, they all think, and if they're in Michigan or Wisconsin or Ohio, they all think the others aren't really as good as they are, and they know better than they are. So some states will say, there's no way we can do this. And some states say, well, but they're starting to look at it. But it's not really them. It's not the regulators you got to worry about so much. It's the lawyers who are spending 2 to 3 years, as John Hazard was talking about yesterday in the board meeting. You know, that they go over 2 to 3 years developing materials for class action lawsuits. That gets them a lot of money. And so they will hire people. They will do their own testing. They will figure out other ways. They will always poo-poo whatever you're doing regardless. And so what we have is a hole in not certification, but just in the quality of determining mulches here, blended mulches, that it's much more difficult to figure out. And it just makes it more vulnerable, and that's why the council wants to come to the members, to the industry in general, just to make them aware of it and to show them what's going on. Now, we were looking for protocols. I basically told you sort of the ins and outs and the pros and cons of doing some of these things. But you know, if you got an inline mixer, It could be different at the beginning, middle, and end of a run. I mean, you have to test to do these things. There's no magic bullet with any of these pieces. But it shows you where it looks like the industry seems to be now, and then at least what we're able to recommend that you begin to look at. Okay? Some people say, well, I'll do 55%. In other words, says, I'm not going to mess with this. It's going to be 2-1. My guys will be a lot easier for them to make it happen. And some people say, well, cypress is cheaper now for me than the pine is, so I'll put more anyway. You know, so there's a number of different reasons. And we're not, as a council, concerned about how you do your business. That's up to you guys. We're just giving you an idea of what it takes from our end to try to help you know what you've got and to be safe at it. Any other questions? You're getting ready for lunch here pretty soon.
Not too soon.
What time is it? 11:30?
11:30.
Okay. Well, that's about all the time I got. Thank you very much.